Okay, so today, as I mentioned before, we are commemorating the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. So what we're going to do is speak a little bit about him, and show a slideshow that I think many of you have seen before, but also mention a few things perhaps that you haven't heard before. So first we're going to chant the prayers to the departed Vaishnavas, which is written by Narottama Das Thakur, after he experienced that Srinivasacharya and Ramchandra Chakravarti Thakur left this world, and Narottama Das Thakur was feeling that he should leave this world too, and actually he did leave this world shortly thereafter, feeling the separation from these great Vaishnavas. So, we will chant. Maybe I should use the harmonium.
All right.
Harmonium. It's interesting. Harmonium, like, it's actually similar to the word pandemonium. Pandemonium, harmonium, and I'm sure there's other words that are related to that that refer to sound vibration.
Sangeela Sangeela Yeko Ilo
Paramahansa Paravidikacharya also tell us Satishi Shima divine grace Avaya Chanana Bhaktivedanta Goswami Srila Prabhupada Vijay Iskan founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Vijay Ananda Goti Vaishnava Vrindi Gajai Namacharya Srila Haridas Gajai Prem Seiko Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda, she's way to get out. She was the gore, but the wind, Nigajai, she, Radhakrishna, go pick up a notch, Shan Kund, Radhakunda. Giddy over on Kijai, Vrinda, Vinam Kijai, Maturidam Kijai, Jagat of the Sami Kijai. Yamunamai Kijai, Shimati Lassi Devi Kijai, son of Veda Bhakta, Vrinda Kijai. Gore, Premananda, Hari Hari Bo. All glories, the assembled devotees. All glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is the assembled devotees, all glory is to Shri Guru and Gauranga. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prasthaya Budhle. Srimati Bhaktivedanta Swamit Namani Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pacharani Nivashesha Shunyavadi Paschacha Deja Tarine Somaganata Vedanta Shaganata I offer my respectful obeisances unto the lotus feet of my spiritual masters, Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada, so kindly opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge while I was blinded in the darkness of ignorance. Okay, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. So today is the commemoration of the disappearance day of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the divine spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, our founder Acharya, the International Society for Krishna Consciousness. So we'd like to speak a little bit. Actually, I should read the translation first. He who brought the treasure of divine love and was filled with compassion and mercy, where is such a personality as Srinivasa Acharya gone? Where are my Swarup Damodar and Rupa Goswami? Where is Sanatan? Where is Raghunath Das, the savior of the fallen? Where are my Raghunath Bhatta and Gopal Bhatta? And where is Krishnas Kaviraj? Where did Lord Garanga, the great dancer, suddenly go? I will smash my head against the rock and enter into the fire. Where will I find Lord Garanga, the reservoir of all wonderful qualities? Being unable to obtain the association of Lord Garanga, accompanied by all of these devotees in whose association he performed his pastimes, Narottama Das simply weeps. So we will continue now with a discussion about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Some of you are going to recognize this slideshow which we have shown before. But commentary will be a little bit different. So, here we go. We share the screen, Govinda. Share Govinda's screen. Okay. Share we go. Okay. So, this is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, the spiritual master of Srila Prabhupada, and this is his disappearance day. So, before we continue, I want to mention, and actually this is part of the slideshow, that before Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur appeared, Bhakti Vinod Thakur, who is a Nichasiddha, a devotee. That means descended from the spiritual world. He was praying for Lord Chaitanya to send his right-hand man because he saw a lot of things going on in this world that we're getting ahead of ourselves. A lot of things going on in this world that he didn't like. A lot of deviations from Krishna consciousness. Because after Lord Chaitanya left this world, then you had the first generation devotees, the six Goswamis of Vrindavan, and then after that, you had devotees like Narottama Das Thakur, Shyamananda Pandit, and Srinivasacharya, who were very staunch devotees and had their disciples, and things started to go down. There's this principle called entropy, that even when you build something or establish something, I know it's used in science in a different way, but it's also used in other ways. If you look it up in the dictionary, things tend to disintegrate to less complex forms. So that's why you have to keep cleaning your house, because of entropy. That's why you have to keep fixing your computer. That's why you have to keep fixing your car, basically because of that. And that's why your body is getting old, because of entropy. So anyway, so Vaishnavism was held in ill repute in many parts of India because people were taking advantage of the philosophy of Krishna consciousness and misusing it for their own sense gratification or for insanity. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was perceiving that, and that's why he prayed for Lord Chaitanya to send his right-hand man. And some of these types of insanity that we are talking about are described here. These are called upa sampradayas, basically false sampradayas. One is the jati goshani, which means people born in a certain caste and called Goswami should be considered the inheritors of Krishna consciousness rather than people who understand Krishna consciousness. And many of these jati goshais, they took ownership of the temples in Vrindavan and sold off a lot of the property and used the money for their families, and a lot of that's still going on today. Another one is the smarta brahmanas. Smarta doesn't mean they're intelligent. It means they think that because they were born in a certain family, they should be Brahmins and the head of society, and everyone else is meant to serve them and pay for all their services. And that's not what Krishna says in the Gita. Krishna says, Chaturvarna mayashishtam gunakarma bhagasham. One is known to be a Brahmin, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra according to his qualities and work, not according to his birth. And even if one is known to be a Shudra, one actually gets the same respect in society and the same concept or the same opportunities to take up Krishna consciousness. There's no discrimination. Actually, like Ramananda Roy was considered a Shudra and he was instructing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the highest aspects of Krishna consciousness. And you have others like Narottama Das Thakur, etc. Then there's the Prakriti Sahajas who want to dance with their own gopis. They take everything very I think they can understand Radha and Krishna. Sometimes they even have so-called loving affairs with gopis, their own gopis. And Gauranga Anagara is these, the Rasa Bas, who think that Lord Chaitanya is the enjoyer of the Rasa dance. Saki Beki, and these are Rasa and Leela imitators who dress up as women. And this particular lady is not that attractive. I don't think any man is going to propose to her. Saki Beki, Atavadi, too great. Anyway, not exactly a superhero like that, but, you know, they think they're great. Sufi, Tantric, Vaishnava, syncretist, that means you combine the Sufi stuff, which is pretty much impersonalist, and you bring some Tantric stuff in. Don't want to mention what Tantra means. Some types of Tantra you eat from skulls. There's bona fide Tantra, too. Tantra simply means to connect one. And but now we're talking about left-handed Tantra, in which you follow the regulative principles of eating meat and fish, yuck, taking intoxication and having horrible sex life. And Kartibhaja, taking the guru as God, that's not a good idea. And Vaishnava Buddhist syncretists, I mean, people just combine everything, so it makes a mishmash of different things. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur was there for praying for a right-hand man of the Lord to appear to stop all this nonsense. And so the fourth son of Bhaktivinoda Thakur was Bimal Prasad. That's Bhaktivinoda Thakur's previous name. And when he was born, he had all the signs of a Mahapurush. The reason he was called Bimal Prasad is that Bimal is actually a name of Yogamaya and Durga. And all the Jagannath Prasad is actually first comes through Parvati or Durga. And that's the name of Bimal. And so the first Prasad that Bhaktivinoda Thakur, or Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur got was from Lord Jagannath. And he is also considered to be the mercy or prasad of Bimal and also the mercy of Lord Jagannath because he was born in Jagannath Puri. I mean, that's pretty auspicious. Jagannath Puri Kshetra, Puri Kshetra. So when he was first born, he had the umbilical cord wrapped around his neck like a Brahmin thread, and it's described that the mark of that umbilical cord remained on his body for his whole life. He appeared on February 6, 1874, and practically right after he was born, during the grain ceremony, sorry. Actually, this... I got that wrong this morning when I was talking about it. So, during the grain ceremony, when he was supposed to get his first grains, the cart stopped in front of his house and wouldn't move for 3 days. This is somewhat like the pastimes of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when the Ratha Yatra was going on during Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's time. And the cart stopped and wouldn't move even when the king's elephants and men tried to pull the cart. And finally, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu had to push the cart with his head and the cart started to move. But imagine a cart not moving for 3 days. That's remarkable. So when the cart didn't move for 3 days, Bhagavati, who happened to be Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's mother, took advantage and brought her son up to the feet of Lord Jagannath. A garland from Lord Jagannath fell around the little boy, and the little boy was given grains by the Pujaris there. And that were the first grains of Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. Let's see, what are the stories? Oh, yeah. And he was so determined that even as a little boy, he was only like 3 years old, once upon a time he... ate a mango. He saw a mango and he just naturally, as a little kid, picked up the mango and started eating it. And his father said to him in a mild way, not really chastising, because you can't chastise a 2 or 3 year old boy. He said to him, don't you understand you're supposed to offer your food? If you don't offer your food, you're actually only eating sin. And from that day forward, he took a vow of not taking a mango for the rest of his life. Wow. And even when he was old, and not extremely old, but old by estimation, because he didn't live in this world for very many years, but even when he was old, he refused to take a mango when it was offered by his disciples. And he would reply to his disciples that, "I am very sinful. I cannot take a mango." So very great determination. So when his father was excavating, that is, Bhaktivinoda Thakur was excavating a temple, to build a temple, his father discovered this Kurma deity, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur pretty much demanded to have this Kurma deity. And his father then gave him initiation and some mantras to worship Lord Kurma. I mean, this wasn't his initiation in the sense that one is initiated by one's guru. Because generally the parents do not initiate the child. So his father gave him these mantras so he could worship Kurma, Kurma mantras. And Kurma is considered to be the deity of the nectarian ocean of devotional service. In other words, bhakti, rasam, Drita, Sindhu. So he began to worship this deity very, very strictly. And at the same age, he actually had memorized the whole Bhagavad Gita. Every single shloka of the Bhagavad Gita he memorized. And then shortly thereafter, he began to tour with his father and preach, tour all over India, and preach Krishna consciousness. And as described, of course, he had a photographic memory, never studied at all, but he still did well. And he was called by his disciples as a living encyclopedia. In fact, the way he learned to speak his erudite English was that he memorized the whole dictionary. He just studied, I guess, the Webster's Dictionary or some dictionary. He studied the whole English dictionary. And he was using words that most English speakers would never understand. Prabhupada actually said that too. He said many times he could not understand what his spiritual master was saying in English because these words were so elevated. I remember the first time I read Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur's commentary on the Brahma Sangita. I needed a dictionary. I said, wow, what does that word mean? Of course, now I know what those words mean. So he was so educated, he developed his own shorthand. And then at 13 years of age, at 13 years of age, he actually got Harinam initiation from his father and also a Nrisimha mantra, because Lord Nrisimhadeva is worshipped in order to get rid of the impediments in devotional service. Generally, we think Lord Nrisimhadeva is worshipped to protect us, and that's true, too. But really, the most important protection that we need is protection from Krishna's illusory energy, from our anarthas like lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy, and all those other nice things that we are very attached to. And so, here's the example the explanation of him getting the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, and learning how to worship Lord Nrisimhadeva with the Nrisimha Mantra. Okay. He established, when he went to school, what's called the August Assembly. That doesn't mean the month of August. August means like elevated, the August Assembly, in which everyone who was a member was taking lifetime brahmachari vows. But, you know, he was the only one who remained a brahmachari for his whole life. And so, so then he attended college. And it's an interesting story about his college, 1892 to 1895. So while he was attending college, he had an argument with the astronomy or astrology professor. And they decided, well, to settle that argument, they would have a public debate between him and the astrology professor. So they had a public debate, and he defeated the astronomy professor. And then after that, he had a really interesting verbal discussion with the principal, and the principal kicked him out. That's the story. He also wanted to be kicked out. And why did he want to be kicked out? He explains elsewhere that had he remained in the university and graduated, there would have been so much pressure put on him to get married. And he thought, well, if I leave, then people will think, no, why get this worthless guy married? So he did that. Actually, Prabhupada never got his graduation either from his university. Prabhupada finished the university but never attended the graduation because Prabhupada was protesting on behalf of Mahatma Gandhi's movement. So Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said he wanted to have some honest occupation that would not entangle him. So in the beginning, he did take an honest occupation. He worked with the king of Tripura, both in Calcutta and also in Tripura, managing some of the affairs for the king of Tripura, and because he was an expert manager. And he, this is from 1895 to 1905. At the same time, he was studying astrology and published an edition of the Surya Siddhanta. Surya Siddhanta is the authorized Vedic text on astrology, which actually differs to quite an extent from most so-called Vedic astrologers today. But this is authorized. And in addition, he published a calendar called the Navadvip Panjika, which basically we use today in a computerized form. So what is this Navadvip Panjika? It tells when the appearance days and disappearance days and Janmashtami is, et cetera, each year. Because the Vedic calendar is based upon the moon cycles rather than on the sun's months. So therefore, you have to really adjust it each year and also adjust the times of breaking a fast, adjust the time of doing different things. And it's really a lot of calculation. And in the International Society of Krishna Consciousness, we have a whole division that is supported by the BBT called the Vaishnava Calendar Committee, VCC. It publishes a calendar and a computer program by which every devotee can calculate calendar for their particular locale. So it's a very important thing. So he established this. And as I mentioned, he worked for the King of Tripura. That's not Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. That's Maharaj Bir Bikram. That's not me. I'm Bir Krishna Goswami, not Bir Bikram. And he established honesty in the king's service. Then he went to reside in Jagannath Puri with his father. And even before that, he started to follow Chaturmasya. And he was following Chaturmasya in such a way that he would only eat once a day, like rice with a little ghee on it. And he would eat, like they say, like a duck. What do I mean by that? Is that he would have the rice on a leaf, on the floor, and he would have his hands behind him, and he would go down just once a day before the evening and put his face into the rice and eat the rice. And as soon as he got up, that was all he could eat. And that was it. And that's how we follow Chaturmash, not cutting his fingernails, not cutting his facial hair, hair on his head, and not even taking any shelter during the Chaturmasya period. And this is a very, very strict way of observing Chaturmasya. So while he was in Jagannath Puri, he was daily giving classes in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, and one of the people who was going to his class was named Radhacharan Das Babaji. Radhacharan Das Babaji really appreciated the classes given by Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And Radhacharan Das Babaji eventually came up with his own bogus apasampradaya, in which he invented this mantra, which basically says, don't do sankirtan. It's Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japak Hari Krishna Hari Ram. It's Bhaja, sorry. Bhaja Nitai Gaur Radhe Shyam Japa Radha Krishna, Japa Hari Krishna Hari Ram. So what that mantra says is that worship Nitai Gaur Radhesham, which is actually Rasa Bhash. You're not supposed to combine Nitai Gaur with Radhesham in one sentence like that. And also, then he said, only chant the Hari Krishna mantra softly like Japa. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur got very disturbed by this apasampradaya and started to criticize Radhacharan Das Babaji. And so Radhacharan Das Babaji was actually quite popular in Jagannath Puri. And so there was a riot. In fact, the life of Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was threatened. And Bhakti Vinod Thakur had to really send him out of Jagannath Puri just to protect him. And around 1899, He was told by his father, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, to accept Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj as his spiritual master. Jagannath Das Babaji Maharaj was a disciple of Bhagavat Das Babaji, and Jagannath Das Babaji's only possessions were some literature by Narottama Das Thakur, a tiger hat, and some rope beads. And he lived very, very simply and was completely detached from this material world. Previously, Jagannath Das Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj. So Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj previously was a grain merchant. He wasn't even from the Brahmin family. And he had renounced this world, giving everything up when his wife passed away. So then what happened, when he was asked by his father, that is Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was asked by his father to take initiation from Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, he approached Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, and Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj first said, I have to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, I'll come back another time. He came back another time. And Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj said, I have forgotten to ask Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And so then he said, all right. And he came back another time. And then he said, that is Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj said, that I asked him and he said no. And then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was completely insistent. And he said, if you can't give me mercy, my life has no meaning, and basically I'm going to end my life. So then Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj was very, very pleased with him and gave him the name Varshabhanavi Devi Doyitaya Das, which basically means the mercy of Srimati Radharani. He also compiled at that particular time Vaishnava, I think it's called Manuja, or a Vaishnava encyclopedia, that is the histories of different Vaishnavas that appeared in our disciplic succession coming after Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Then in 1904 to 1905, he decided he wanted to take sannyas. Now, what does that mean, taking sannyas? Sannyas means that one renounces everything, of course, obviously getting married, but renounces everything in this material world in order to serve the Supreme Personality of God. It doesn't mean that one simply lights no fire, engages in no work, but one actually accepts everything favorable for serving Krishna and rejects everything unfavorable. But he wanted to understand how to take sannyas or what type of sannyas to take, because the Gaudiya sannyas at that particular time was more or less like a Babaji sannyas, a non-preaching sannyas. In other words, a Babaji would remain in a holy place and not go into the cities, especially the material cities, just like Srila Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj, when he had trouble with his eyes, was asked by Bhaktivinoda Thakur to go to Calcutta to see a doctor. And Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj stated, I will never go to Kali's place. And then Bhaktivinoda Thakur said, if you go there, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur will assist you. And then Gorkhashodas Babaji Maharaj got so upset that he refused to even think of taking assistance from his disciples, so humble he was, that he ran and disappeared for a long period of time. And everyone thought, well, he has drowned himself in the Ganges, which he didn't do. So that's generally the Babaji's. Babaji's are not going to go into the modern cities to preach. The Babaji's will stay in a holy place and engage in bhajan, near Jana Bhajan. Or they maybe do some writing. But that's the tradition in the Gaudiya Vaishnava Sampradaya. But Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he didn't want to be tied up in that particular way. He wanted to go and preach, and he was ordered by Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole disciplic succession to go out and preach. And Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and the whole disciplic succession said that they would actually assist him, and he would be very, very successful. So he wanted a type of sannyas that people would listen to, but not a type of sannyas that people would just have to that would have to just go to a holy place and sit down and do no preaching. So he went to South India and studied sannyas from the Sri Sampradaya, and he adopted many of the different external signs of sannyasis from the Sri Sampradaya. And also he studied the Ramakrishna Mission sannyasis, because they were also very, very popular at that time. The whole point is he wanted to accept a dress that would attract people or get people to hear. Similarly, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, at least the external reason for Lord Chaitanya's sannyas, was that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted people to listen to him and not disrespect him, because he was afraid if people disrespected him, they would be committing offenses. And Lord Chaitanya was thinking, I will not be fulfilling my mission of saving the most fallen. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur accepted the dress or the type of sannyas as a preaching tool. He was showing us something that Prabhupada later on elaborated, which was, utility is the principle. So whatever you can do to get people to chant Hare Krishna. And Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he was even ready to feed meat to people to get them to chant Hare Krishna. You know, when he was told by his disciples who preach in the Western world that, you know, they're addicted to meat, then Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, then give them meat, but get them to chant. Understanding that if people started chanting, you know, at least Namabash, they become purified and automatically give up the meat eating. In addition, he even arranged for the Britishers who were visiting Sridhar Mayapur, the dignitaries, to have meat so that they would feel more comfortable. And even when he was constructing temples, he arranged, he personally rolled the biddies, the cigarettes, for the workers. So he was very revolutionary. When he was asked by his disciples, how can you do this? He said, I've been waiting many, many crores of births to do this, to carry out Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission. So anyway, so he studied sannyas and then took sannyas from a picture of his guru. And then before he actually went out to preach, he took a vow to chant 192 rounds a day in Vrajapatana. That's where the Gaudiya Math is, the Chaitanya Math is in Mayapur. And he was living in a hut with no covering on the roof, or, you know, a leaky roof. And when it started raining, he used an umbrella, he slept on the floor, engaged in tremendous, tremendous austerities, until he actually had that vision of Lord Chaitanya and all the acharyas telling him to go out and preach Krishna consciousness. So in 1906, he initiated his first disciple, and he had dreamt that the Baals, the Advaita Vaishnava sect, were attacking him in the form of tigers. So he understood that these deviant sects were destroying the reputation of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement. They were engaged in deviant, not only deviant activity, activity that was take people away from Lord Chaitanya. It's better to be an abject materialist than to have an improper understanding of Lord Chaitanya's mission. In the beginning of the Chaitanya Charitamrita, Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami says, it's better to become an absolute materialist than to worship Lord Chaitanya and not Lord Nityananda, or to worship Lord Nityananda and not Lord Chaitanya. So it's better to be absolutely ignorant of Krishna consciousness and to misuse Krishna consciousness for one's personal aggrandizement. So in many times, we didn't mention this before. Actually, we had mentioned this the other day, that there was this discussion years before about the superiority of Brahmanas versus Vaishnavas. And this discussion, it was a big, big meeting, was actually organized by Bhaktivinoda Thakur's Diksha Guru, Vipini Bihari Goswami. And when this discussion was being held, and Vipini Bihari Goswami was on the side of the Brahmanas, saying that Brahmanas are superior to Vaishnavas, or only a Brahmana can initiate, only a Brahmana can do fire sacrifices. Only a born Brahmana can do fire sacrifices. Only a born Brahmana can initiate. And when Bhaktivinoda Thakur heard about this controversy in this meeting, there was a debate that was going to be held. He didn't want to go because he didn't want to oppose his spiritual master. So he feigned sickness and sent his son, Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur. And Srila Bhakti Sananta Saraswati Thakur, he had this debate with Vipini Vihari Goswami and those who were, let's say, those who were ritualistic Brahmins, and he defeated them soundly. And during that debate, he also mentioned these Gora mantras, references in the Atharva Veda and other Vedic literatures that corroborate the fact that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is the Yuga Avatar and Lord Chaitanya is teaching the Yuga Dharma. So there are references in the Atharva Veda, and even the other day we were talking about references in the Samaveda and I'm not sure in the Yajurveda, but the Samaveda at least. And so we mentioned in 1911, he established that Vaishnavas are superior to Brahmanas. And this is what I just talked about in Midnapura. And the crowds went wild. This is not a picture of the same thing, because obviously this is a color picture that occurred later on. Crowds went wild and wanted to touch his feet because he had defeated the ritualistic Brahmanas and the Sahajas and the Nityananda Vamsas and all those other deviants. And the crowds wanted to touch his feet, but the guards wanted to protect him, and they dunked his feet in water and sprayed water on the crowd, and the crowd went wild. So he established in 1911 the Vedic basis for accepting Lord Chaitanya as an incarnation of Krishna. And he published this book, From the Samar, Yajur, Riga, and Atharva, from the four Vedas, and from the Upanishads, he established this. Then there were some conspiracies to kill him. What were those conspiracies? That once upon a time they attempted to poison him at a king's palace, and he refused to eat. Somehow or other, Krishna informed him this also because the king was serving meat, so he refused to eat in a place where they were serving meat, and he only took a tulsi leaf, and he was not allowed to speak. So that's one attempt that was made to kill him. Another attempt was that they bribed a police officer with 25,000 rupees, and that's a lot of money. Nowadays, it would be like, phew. It would be like a lot more, probably like a crore of rupees, with the equivalent today. A crore of rupees is like $200,000 or something like that right now. And the police officer said that normally we have no problems in taking bribes and allowing people to be killed, but you're a great saintly person, so we are not going to do it this particular time. And there was another time too, and this is very interesting, when he was going on pilgrimage in Mayapur and also Vrindavan, the ritualistic Brahmanas, they actually arranged for his parties to be stoned and for his life to be threatened. You know, he was the target. And so what happened is that in order to protect him, one of his disciples changed clothes with him. This disciple who was Keshava Maharaj, who later on took sannyas, but at that particular point was wearing white dhoti. He changed clothes with Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and basically they attacked him rather than Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. At least they didn't kill him, but they created a bloody mess that's described. There was blood running in the streets of Sridhar Mayapur. And then later on, what happened is the press took his side, that means Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's side, and everything turned out advantageously for the mission of Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, because he got good press. In fact, it was on the front page of many of the prominent papers in India, And he remarked later, he said, we wouldn't have been able to afford to pay for such advertising otherwise. This is all Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's plan. So even the opposition to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur was utilized by Krishna to help Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur in his mission. And he established what he called the Brihat Mridanga. Brihat Mridanga means the great Mridanga, because an ordinary Mridanga can only be heard for a short distance. But he felt that by distributing books, and of course this was borne out by other examples in other cultures where different philosophies such as the communist, let's say, revolution the communist revolution in Russia and other places occurred, that books were actually the basis. Like Prabhupada said, books are the basis, utility is the principle. So he established his own printing press in Calcutta in 1913. And then in 1914, Srila Bhakti Vinod Thakur disappeared, and shortly thereafter, in 1915, Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappeared from this world. And when Srila Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj disappeared from this world, there was a whole fight between the different ashrams as to who would have his samadhi. Now, the reason they were fighting for the samadhi is because if you have a samadhi of a great personality like Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, you get a lot of guests. And when you get a lot of guests, you get a lot of mula. And for those who don't know what mula means, it means money. And Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur called that as using the shalagram shila to crack nuts with. In other words, when you're interested in using a deity or using a samadhi to actually turn a profit, then that's irreligious. So there was a whole fight. So they were fighting, and Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, I should have the samadhi because I'm his only disciple. And everyone else said, well, you're just a brahmachari. Actually, he was a sannyasi at that time. Yeah, he had taken sannyas. Anyway, but you're just, they just considered just like an ordinary brahmachari because he wasn't like in the Babaji order of life. And you're, who knows whether you actually took initiation from him. We don't know that. We don't have any proof. And we're Babajis. We're in a higher order of life. We are actually Paramahansas. And so Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, let's do a test. Anyone who has not had illicit sex life for 1 year can have the samadhi on his property. And the policeman, who is sort of like mediating this whole dispute, said, how do we know they're telling the truth? And Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, you know, we can trust them because if they lie in front of the samadhi, in front of the holy body of Bhakti, of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj, they'll go to hell. So everybody was scared. Usually if you had some sort of conflict, that conflict would be mediated in front of the deity, and people were scared of lying before the deity. So no one came forward. So obviously everyone except Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur had illicit sex during that last year. Then Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, okay, anyone who's not had illicit sex for 6 months, no one came forward. 3 months, no one came forward. 1 month, no one came forward. 3 days, no one came forward, and they all started slinking away. Wow. And so then he established the samadhi of Gaurkishore Das Babaji Maharaj. As we mentioned before, at different times he had dreams assuring him of success. One particular dream he had at this point was the Panchatattva appearing before him, assuring him of success. Someone is talking. Let me just mute you all again. Assuring him of success. And this is similar to the dream that Srila Prabhupada had of Krishna and his various incarnations rowing his boat across the Atlantic Ocean. So anyway, so there was fighting for the samadhi. Let's go. Then He established a temple in Calcutta. He lived on the roof and went door to door in Calcutta, preaching Krishna consciousness. And this is the math called the Ultatanga math in Calcutta. And then in 1922, he met with R. Srila Prabhupada by Charananda Vinda on the roof of this math. And 1919, he established the deity of Bhaktivinoda Thakur at Godram Dwipa, which is right across the river from our Sri Mayapur Chandradaya Mandir. Oh, this is what I also mentioned before. He gave a lecture on condemning using the deity to make money. He said it's like cracking nuts with a shalagram shila. And here you see a monkey, not using the shalagram shila, but just using an ordinary rock to crack nuts with. And established a temple in Mayapur, Bajapatanam. That's the Mayapur Sri Chaitanya Math, in which he established all the acharyas, the four founder acharyas of the disciplic succession. We don't have time for that. Here's the story about the Navadvip Parikrama, which the stones were thrown on his party. Wow. In 1926, sent sannyasis out to preach all over India. In 1927, he established an English newspaper called The Harmonist. And 1929, established the different Padatirthas, that means where Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited, all over India. And we have visited some of these places and seen the lotus feet of Lord Chaitanya that were installed in these various places. In 1930, in order to establish the preaching mission of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he established diorama exhibits. In 1930, established a new temple that he constructed, Bagh Bazar. And there you see him sitting with some of his disciples in about 1930 at the temple opening, Bagh Bazar. He established examinations like Bhakti Shastri, Bhakti Vaibhava examinations. And then in 1933, he sent his disciples to the west and he compared them to Hanuman crossing the ocean. Right before he left this world, Prabhupada wrote this offering to Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in which Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood that Prabhupada had understood his mission. In these short words, absolute ascension, thou hast proved, impersonal calamity, thou hast moved. And 1935, also, Srila Prabhupada met Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur at Radhakund. Actually, he sat in Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur's room and got specific instructions that if you ever get any money, print and distribute books. And also, he was told by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur that if he could print and distribute books, he was ready to sell the marble for the temples. And he also predicted, that is, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur predicted that there would be fighting in the different maths of the Gaudiya math. And he wanted Prabhupada to always remain separate and not get involved. Even though Prabhupada's godbrothers, they were trying to pressure Srila Prabhupada to, let's say, move in the temple or become more involved in the central management of the Gaudiya math society. But Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, leave him alone, in due course of time, he will do everything. This is the statement. Whatever I could, I did it because I took very seriously this Prabhupada statement that he's very sorry that these things were not done. He said there will be a fire in this Gaudiya math. And there's the Bengali. If I can, I shall sell these marbles of this temple and convert them into books. That was his ambition. He started a very nice press, and this Tirthamaras sold it July 26, 1976, Prabhupada's teaching. And then 1936, there was the last preaching tour. And his last letter to Srila Prabhupada was, I am fully confident that you can explain in English our thoughts and arguments to the people who are not conversant with the languages of the other members. This will do much good to yourself as well as to your audience. I have every hope that you can turn yourself into a very good English preacher. Whoops. If you serve the mission to inculcate the novel impression of Lord Chaitanya's teachings in the people in general, as well as the philosophers and religionists. And his last instructions to his disciples was, I advise all to preach the teachings of Rupa Raghunath, disciples of Lord Chaitanya, with all energy and resources. Our ultimate goal shall be to become the dust at the lotus feet of Sri Sri Rupa and Raghunath Goswamis. You should all work conjointly under the guidance of your spiritual master with a view to serve the absolute knowledge, the personality of Godhead. You should live somehow or other without any quarrel in this mortal world, only for the service of Godhead. Do not, please give up the service of Godhead in spite of all dangers, all criticisms, and all discomforts. Do not be disappointed, for most people in the world do not serve the personality of Godhead. Do not give up your own service, which is your everything and all. Neither reject the process of chanting and hearing of the transcendental holy name of Godhead. You should always chant the transcendental name of Godhead with patience and forbearance like a tree and humbleness like a straw. There are many amongst you who are well qualified and able workers. We have no other desire whatsoever. Summing up his mission, he was known as the Singha Guru, the Lion Guru. People were afraid of him if they were preaching bogus philosophy. He chastised people. He reformed Gaudiya Vaishnava, preached against deviant Vaishnava sects. He met with many scholars, acharyas, leaders, actually instituted preaching on the radio using modern technology, not the modern technology of today, but the technology that was modern then. And sometimes people criticized him for using the radio. He was the first one to use the radio. He unified the four sampradayas by stressing the points of agreement and publishing the works of other acharyas, especially Madhva and Ramanujacharya, established 64 temples in India and centers in Rangoon, London, and Germany. Four printing presses, thousands of books, edited Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur's books, established the Parikrama and Navadvip Dham, Brajamando Parikrama, which was first done by Lord Chaitanya, and found many other pilgrimage sites and established the Padatirthas at pastime sites all over India. He wrote over 108 essays and books, hundreds of articles, 8 magazines, and made an institution of organized religion, which was very, very unusual for Hinduism or any Hindu group. Use modern technology, cars, radios, boats, sewn cloth, etc. Send sannyasis overseas, use non-spiritual things to preach Krishna consciousness, created theistic displays, showed how we can use Maya in Krishna's service, established devotional services, the three aspects of Krishna conscious philosophy, Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. I don't have time to go through them right now. I emphasized kirtan, took a vow to chant 1 billion names, took him 9 years, preached Daivi Varnashram, established an important paper, establishing or ascertaining the relative position of Brahmins and Vaishnavas. And that led to the creation of the Gaudiya Math and engaging so many people in Krishna consciousness. Initiated people by their quality and not caste. These are all his innovations. Took Mayavadi saffron and Tridandi for his own sannyasis. Of course, used part of the Ramanujacharya sannyas dress and then part of the Ramakrishna mission. Criticized existing renunciates. He created a sannyas brotherhood of impeccable character, not divorced from society. Social philosophy, Bhagavati, Diksha, without many formal rites and without regard to his gurus, Diksha Guru. This is really important, Bhagavati, Diksha. So there's Pancharatriki and Bhagavati. So Bhagavati means like hearing and chanting, and the Srimad Bhagavatam and Krishna Katha. 37 left this world, and his success, he tried to appoint a committee, but that didn't work out. These different personalities in the committee, which he called the GBC, that was his invention or his nomenclature, They started fighting with each other, and they eventually chose one and other people to become acharyas. And then eventually the whole thing broke up and they found their own mats. And Srila Prabhupada had to go out on his own to start his own organization. And so that's Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur. There's a lot more and a lot more quotes about Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur we don't have time to talk about today. I have a lot more information here. So he's our grandfather, or for some of you, great-grandfather, Guru. So we have time for one or two questions. Hold on a second. Let me let you ask questions. Okay. You are enabled to ask questions. Who wants to ask a question?
Ask a question, Gurudev?
Yeah.
So Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur initiated people according to their quality, but towards the end of his pastimes, he was disappointed in his disciples. So what is, it seems to be a contradiction if he initiated people according to their qualities, then why didn't they maintain the qualities that for which he initiated them?
Well, there are several different reasons. One is when you initiate someone according to their qualities, you initiate them according to their potential. And people can either live up to their potential or not live up to their potential. Also, another reason is that people can have the qualities and then later on by bad association lose those qualities or take on bad qualities. So that's free will. Like Prabhupada said, even if someone's in the spiritual world, they could fall down from the spiritual world. So that means we all have to be very, very careful.
Thank you.
So...
So, naturally, it's a little shocking that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur would do something like roll beedies and serve meat at Mayapur Dham. And, you know, I think if someone were to do that in ISKCON, you know, one of the gurus or leaders, you know, there might be a big uproar.
Oh, yeah. And
anyway, so it just makes me think, you know, how do we know as disciples in this parampara whether we're being blind followers or we're being properly loyal?
That's a good question. I don't think that we have the prerogative to roll beaties or serve meat to people like Srila Bhakti, because Prabhupada has not given us that permission. But at the same time, there are certain things that Prabhupada has not prohibited in order to preach Krishna consciousness. For example, like sometimes it's necessary to dress in a way that some people might consider non-traditional in order to spread Krishna consciousness. Sometimes it might be necessary to use, or not, I don't want to use the word necessary, it might be productive to use different styles of music in order to attract people to Krishna consciousness. So these are things that do not violate any of the instructions that Srila Prabhupada gave us. But at this point, I think to serve meat would be to violate Srila Prabhupada's injunctions. If we were to serve meat, as far as rolling biddies, or whatever you call them, as far as rolling them, I remember recently we had some construction going on at the temple, and one devotee was having a fit because some of the construction workers were smoking. And I didn't buy their cigarettes for them, nor did I roll their cigarettes for them. But I do know that with construction workers, as Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur understood, that sometimes construction workers are going to do things that are not in tune with the regulated principles. And if you want to keep them working, it's hard enough to keep them working anyway. But if you want to keep them working, sometimes you got to cut a little slack. So Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, in order to keep his workers working, rolled the biddies. You know, I never did such a thing, but I didn't get on their case for smoking. So we have to have a little bit of discrimination, but also be careful and be ready to take advice from older, mature devotees. Certainly construction people generally tend to be in the lower modes of nature. And you've got to expect a lot of things. Like if we made a regulation here that everybody who comes and does construction has to be a vegetarian, we'd never get anything done. So, to answer your question, it requires some discrimination. And one should take consultation from one's godbrothers or other devotees to see what's practical. I mean, everything we do has some involvement with Krishna's material energy. I mean, if we take our car to the shop to be worked on, there's going to be people smoking there. If we buy things, we're giving money to people who are going to use the money for nefarious purposes. So basically, you have to understand that anything you do has some sort of involvement with Krishna's material energy or even empowerment of non-devotees. So one has to really, really understand how to apply the practices of Krishna consciousness in such a circumstance and not be too fanatic. Practically anything you do has some connection, empowerment, or facilitation of non-devotees. You know, even if I buy a computer, even if I mean, anything I do, basically. Even if I pay for my internet connection, which I'm not paying for, thank God. Sometimes works, sometimes doesn't work. But, you know, everything you do has some involvement. You're actually empowering or facilitating people to do illicit activities. I mean, what can you do? You can't... Someone's sending me a chat. You can't really escape from it, as far as I see. Whether you're rolling the biddies or giving money to a person who fixes your plumbing, and he's buying the biddies, you know, you're involved somehow or other. And that's why, unless you're Krishna conscious, then you're going to be accruing karma by your involvement with others in this material nature. So that's why it's important to chant your rounds, be engaged in Krishna consciousness, and offer all your food to Krishna before you eat it. Okay. One other question.
Gurudev, please accept my humble obeisances.
Okay, Rakesh.
Gurudev, I just saw in the slide that Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he wrote a book called Vedas.
Yeah. He wrote a book establishing Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the authenticity of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission and proving that Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was the Yuga avatar meant to preach the Yuga Dharma from the Vedas. The book wasn't called the Vedas. I don't remember the name of the book, but he wrote pulling out quotes from the Atharva Veda, Yajur Veda, Samaveda, and the Rig Veda about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Okay. All right, that's all we have time for. One thing I wanted to mention is that if anyone is interested, and we only have place for one person in the course, one more person in the course, if anyone is interested in getting certification in empathic communication, we have a limited course that's starting tomorrow. It's going to take 3 or 4 months to finish. And it's only for people in North America because the time is not going to be appropriate for people elsewhere in the world. And it's going to cost $400 for each person. So it's going to start tomorrow. So please contact me tonight and I'll let you know if there's a space available, because we may have one space available in this
What time would
tomorrow.
Be in Australia, Gurudev?
What's that?
Well, what time will that be broadcasted in Australia?
When you're sleeping, in the middle of the
I
night.
I sleep very little.
In the middle of the night. So it's not going to work out for Australia or Fiji or New Zealand. So it's and also you have to be. It's not just for people, for anybody. It's for people who have already studied my book on empathic communication, who have applied the book on empathic communication, already practicing empathic communication. It's a trainer course. We're training the trainer or trainers. It's not to learn empathic communication. It's for those who are already practicing empathic communication, and people will be certified after 4 months of taking this course. It's quite a long course. There's going to be hours of homework every week, and we may have one space, I'm not sure about it right now. One space, it's very limited. We're only allowing maximum six people to take the course.
And Guru Maharaj?
Yeah.
Sorry, Guru Maharaj, it's Abhay Chaitanya here. How do we get access to the book that you have written on this?
If you Pardon my write, ignorance. you can either go on Amazon. Let me get the book out and I'll show it to you.
Sure.
This is the book. It's called Realizing Our Empathic Nature Connected to Krishna. And it's available on Amazon.com.
Right.
Either as a Kindle book or as a hard book, like not hard, I mean it's a soft book.
Yeah.
Like that on Amazon. And it's also, you know, if anyone wants a PDF of it, they can email me and I'll send them a PDF of it. But this course is only for those who have thoroughly studied and practiced and are practically already teaching some of the aspects of empathic communication. So if any of you, we have just, I think, one more space available. And it's quite a lengthy course, and it's going to be, and you really have to be familiar with the book first. So these are people who've attended my other training sessions. So some of you may or may not have. I'm just mentioning that. And we're actually starting tomorrow. But, you know, this book is really important. We'll be having future training sessions too, but this one's going to be the first of several in which we're
Put it on what? Amazon, Gurudev. I couldn't find it. I'm just searching Amazon right now to buy it. I can't find it.
Look at it under Realizing Our Empathic Nature Connected to Krishna. Not empathic.
Found it. Thank
you. It's not listed under empathic communication. It's listed under Realizing Our Empathic Nature Connected to Krishna.
Yeah,
you see it?
Yes, I see it. Yes, I found it. Thank you.
Yeah, it's available as a Kindle, and it's available as a regular softbound book. And I, you know, ask everyone to read it. But this course is not for those who haven't read the book or haven't been practicing or haven't been teaching. It's a more advanced course. And it's only, time-wise, it's only for those who are in this hemisphere. Yeah, I could send, you don't have to buy the PDF. If you email me, don't send me a text message. If you email me, I'll send you a free PDF copy of it.
I'm buying the text. I'm buying the textbook. My eyes become watery if I read too much on it.
Yeah, thank you, Guru Maharaj. I'll do the same. We'll buy the hard copy, but if we need the PDF, I'll let you know. Thank you so much, Guru Maharaj.
Okay. Yeah, if you can't read on the computer, then the hard copy is what you need. Like this. Pretty easy to read. It's in English. So, I guess that's it. So I guess that's it. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Gijai. We'll see everybody tomorrow for the normal Chaitanya Charitamrita class. It's on Sunday. Sunday for us, and Monday for some of you. All glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada, Gijai.